Well, good morning, church. Hopefully you guys are having a fantastic morning. Shane, you won't see this till later, but that was not a bro move to make me bawl like that 5 minutes before I had to get up here. luckily, there was some tissues. So you might be wondering, isn't that the guy who had a man bun like 2 weeks ago? He's been running around here for a couple of years. Yes, that is me. I actually received some wise counsel, and now the man bun is gone, but it's still there in spirit. It's crazy. I've actually been going to Washington Avenue for about 10 years now. And throughout that entire time, my walk with Jesus has been, it's been good, but it's also had its ups and downs. Specifically, when I was about 18, it really went downhill for a little bit. At that point, I realized that my faith was really based on my youth pastor and on my parents. And I'm really glad that they brought me up in the faith, but what had happened was a tightrope between them and me and Jesus, and I needed a tightrope between me and Jesus alone. So I had to decide what my faith was like on my own. But through the Holy Spirit, working through people like Travis Valkovic and James Sharp, and now my brother and mentor Shane Wiley, I actually heard the call to be a youth pastor. So here I am, 23, and I'm walking in the purpose that God has called me to. But looking back, I can see how that suffering has been redeemed, and it's really the reason that I am up here today and have such a passion for students and their relationship with Christ. I recently graduated from Ozark Christian College with a bachelor's degree in biblical studies, and so I'm all schooled up, and I bought my grown-up pants, so I'm here, and I'm ready, and I'm excited, and I'm so excited to speak to you today. My name is Jake Earls, and now that you know a little bit about me, let's get real. Because our church is a place with real people. And I'm here today to tell you about my real addiction. An addiction that started when I was a child and has never really gone away. This addiction has crept into every single aspect of my life. This addiction shows up in my bedroom. This addiction shows up in my car. This addiction shows up here at work. This addiction became very apparent in the 3 years after high school, but this addiction has shown throughout my entire life, and it meets me everywhere with a never-ending hunger to consume me. In fact, I think we all have this addiction. Most of us just don't really realize it. This addiction shows up in our eating habits, our media consumption, the relationships we choose to have. This addiction shows up in our marriages, in our schools, and in our churches. This addiction does nothing but hurt us, yet we choose it over and over and over again. Friends, we are addicted to choosing death over life. We are addicted to choosing death over life. See, every day we choose to eat that thing we know we shouldn't. We choose not to go on that run that we've been promising ourselves to go on for weeks. We choose to get in that relationship with that person that we know we shouldn't, and we know that we deserve better, and we choose to look on certain websites that we know will do nothing but leave us feeling alone. We choose to increase the bondage of self-destruction on our lives every single day. Why are we surprised when things go wrong? Why are we so confused when we realize we're not in control? Why do we choose death over life? Maybe the better question is even what or even who is causing us to choose death over life. See, well, the good news is we're actually not the first people to struggle with this. This book, God's Word, is filled with people who decided to choose death over life. Starting in the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation, do we find real stories of real people struggling with this addiction? In Genesis 3, we can see that Adam and Eve were the gateways for us to enter this addiction and union with death. By consuming the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, humanity was doomed to a life poisoned by sin and the perversion of truth. But what do we do about this, right? Neither you nor I was there when Adam and Eve decided to change the path for humanity forever. And even if we were, who honestly could say here that we would have chosen differently? No wonder my wife has a hard time deciding what to eat, right? But that's why I'm so thankful for this series that we've been doing this summer. I don't think there could have been a more relevant, more relatable series than a whole series on suffering and refining and being refined by fire. See, all of us are asking the same questions just in different ways. Why am I here? Why do bad things happen to good people? How am I supposed to understand the world around me? And how can I cope with the understanding that I will one day die and the suffering around me is real and inevitable? But we serve a loving God who spoke through Peter, who was writing to a group of people who really knew what it felt like to suffer and be persecuted. So church, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. These are some of the last verses that Peter wrote before concluding his letter. We're going to start in verse 8. It says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful." Now, if you've been paying attention throughout this whole series, this isn't the first time that Peter said this. First in chapter 1, second in chapter 4, and now third here and now. I think what Peter is trying to tell us is look out. In fact, he's told us three times. No one says something three times and doesn't mean it. Peter is telling us to wake up to the reality of the bondage that we are not seeing. And as Peter writes to these persecuted Christians, I think he is speaking to us as well. Let's look at the rest of verse 8. "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." I picture Peter screaming at this point. This isn't a joke. This isn't a fairy tale. To believers and non-believers in the room, Satan is real and he is trying to defeat you. In fact, I think he is the reason for your addiction. He's watching you when you're sleeping and he knows when you're awake. He's waiting to get his chance not to just take a bite out of you, but to devour you. And I don't know if you caught that word, devour, but in Greek, this word actually means to consume completely, to swallow up. And if it helps you understand this word better, think of the context of Jonah 1:17, when Jonah was completely swallowed by the huge fish. The metaphor that Peter is trying to portray here is that a lion is coming out of nowhere and is viciously attacking his prey, typically when they're doing routine activities. This is no laughing matter. You should be afraid. Satan wants to end you. Satan wants to completely end your life, eradicate you from existence. He wants to make you feel alone, to make you forget who you are. He wants to make you hurt in ways you can't imagine. And you want to know how he does it? He reminds you of how many bad things you've done. He convinces you that the mistakes you've made only make your debt to God even higher. He convinces you that there's no way you will ever pay off all of your debt. This debt, it starts to consume you. This debt defines you. This debt is a part of you, and eventually this debt is you. Because if you really want to mess with someone, you don't do it all at once. You see, Satan is kind of like a drug dealer, and as a drug dealer, you don't give your client the strongest dose first. You have to bring them into the game slowly. The drug dealer must slowly and ever so gradually up that dose that they become addicted. So addicted that they feel like they can't live without it. It's starting to consume their entire body, changing them from the inside out. Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. So he creeps in and he relies on you to bury yourself deeper and deeper into addiction. Because if you really want to hurt someone, you do it slowly. You do it gradually. You let them think that that one time won't hurt anyone. He lets our addiction start as something small and something that seems relatively innocent and tells us that, you know what, no one's going to know. No one will be hurt. It's just me. It's okay to watch that movie with that sex scene. It's okay to have one more drink. It's okay to eat that piece of cake. It's okay to keep taking out loans and getting credit cards to pay off those loans. He's convinced us that it's okay to talk to our wives that way. He's convinced us to stay out late and build our addictions in the dark. Satan can't be everywhere, so he gives us a taste, just like he did in Genesis 3. And he relies on us to tangle ourselves up in our own addictions. He doesn't have to be omnipresent. He doesn't have to worry about us because we've buried ourselves so far deep in this trap of addiction that we won't even see the huge lion standing behind us ready to devour us. What Peter is saying here is that a gradual addiction leads to a total consumption. A gradual addiction leads to a total consumption. Do you feel defeated yet? Because I know I did. I know I looked around and I saw a group of people who actually didn't care about me. They only wanted to be a part of my addiction. They didn't want it to end. They always wanted to be in a state of self-destruction and confusion. I felt like I had no one to look out for me. I felt like I had lost the battle. I felt like I was alone in a room full of people. So you might be asking, how did you get out? How did you learn to wake up and see the lion? How did you defeat him? So, let's go back to verse 9. Peter says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. I didn't defeat the lion. I tried, but I always lost. But then I met other people who felt this way, alone in their suffering and addiction, and I found that I could find community, and I could maybe resist this lion if I had community behind me in Jesus. See, this year has been such a battle for me. I've tried so hard to stop choosing death over life, but I only win for a small amount of time before I come crawling back to my addiction. You know what's funny though? I think I can handle it. I know what's going on in my life. I see the circumstances that got me there, and I know I need to make these choices to help me turn away from my addiction. I think that I'm capable of winning this war on my own, but then I find myself like I did in a place like last Sunday where everything starts crashing around me and I can't do anything because I am not in charge. Friends, you can't win this battle on your own. You can't change on your own. You never can, and you never will. And as hard as that is to hear, that is the truth. And it's something that I am trying to understand more fully every day of my life. You see, because of the consequences of sin, we can't change on our own. Just like when we ate the forbidden fruit, no one could rip open our stomachs and get the apple out before our body consumed it. It became a part of us. It is a part of us. Sin is a part of us. It is impossible. See, but what Peter is trying to say here is that there is hope. There is hope for our addiction to death. We might not be able to win this battle on our own, but we can resist him. He said, look around. You're not the only person suffering on this planet. God hasn't singled you out. In fact, everyone suffers. But you must have the ability to have faith if you want to survive. If you want to be able to resist him, you have to have faith. So how do we resist the devil? How do we resist this addiction to death? We have to stand firm in our faith. We have to stand firm in our faith. And if you don't know because you haven't heard the gospel before, or maybe you're like me that you're so asleep in your addiction to death that you've forgotten what this means, but I stand here today in the authority of the Holy Spirit to tell you that Jesus Christ has stood for you when you could only kneel. His addiction was not death, but life. He has defeated Satan. He has defeated death. He came to this earth where everything and everyone around him was corrupted and addicted by sin and death, and he chose life. But he did it in the most upside down, backwards, radical way. He did it something completely against logical sense from the perspective of someone who is addicted to choosing death over life. He lived a perfect life in union with the Father. He never once bought into this drug called death. Even though everyone around him was addicted, he chose to be completely pure. And even when Satan himself met Jesus in the garden, he chose life with his Father over life corrupted with death and power here on earth. And he did so for 33 years. Sometimes I can't even go a day without messing up, and he did it for 33 years. And on his final day, he died on the cross a perfect, clean, and pure lamb. But you see, the Christian faith is based not just on the death of Jesus Christ, but on the resurrection as well. And we are called to transformation in this truth. We cannot rid ourselves of this addictions by our own will and determination, but we can through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if I've lost you in this sermon, you can't miss this next part. This is by far the most important thing that I will say all morning. Because victory can't be achieved. It can only be received. Victory can't be achieved. It can only be received. You can't win on your own. You never can, and you never will. And the quicker we figure that out, the quicker we will be able to rid ourselves of this addiction. Peter says in our last verse for today, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen." Yes, we will suffer. Yes, we will be addicted to this drug called death for a long time. Yes, things like COVID-19 will happen where we are not in control. We have no control of these circumstances. Yes, we will lose family members to this addiction. Yes, we will lose friends. Yes, we will lose spouses. Yes, we will lose ourselves. Yes, we will suffer. But not because God wants us to, but because Satan is real and he is trying to devour you. You see, but the God of all grace has called you to choose life over death. He has called you to a life of transformation through his Son, Jesus Christ. He himself, Jesus Christ alone, will restore you. He himself alone will confirm you. He himself alone will strengthen you, and he himself alone will establish you. He will restore our marriages. He will restore our friendships. He will bring peace to your anxiety. He will replace your fear with faith. He will strengthen you through his Holy Spirit to make decisions that will choose life with him over death with Satan. He will restore your brokenness, allowing for the pieces to assemble themselves slowly over time. Because our addiction has affected more than we know. Church, this is an intervention. And the only thing that will save you from your addiction is Jesus Christ. Church, our wounds are healed by his. So what do we do about this? What can we do now, knowing that we are addicted and are in need of rehabilitation and transformation? You can't miss this part either, because in order to participate in the victory of Jesus, we have to learn to fight like Jesus did. You can start by knowing your enemy and knowing yourself. Sun Tzu, the author of The Art of War, said, "If you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles." I'm not telling you to go spend all your time learning about Satan, but what I'm telling you is to learn how he fights. Understand how he tries to hurt you gradually over time, taking little bites to one day be able to completely consume you. The next thing you need to do is learn more and more about yourself. If you know that you're triggered by this addiction, by certain things, then rid yourself of those things. Don't be on the roof looking at Bathsheba's when you should be looking at your wife. Don't go to the bakery when you know you don't need any sweets. And don't log on to those sites that you know you shouldn't be on. Second, when Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, he didn't take a sword. He took one thing only, and that was the Word of God. And you might be saying, "Well, Jake, the Bible wasn't created that time." Well, yeah, no, okay, he's got the Old Testament right here. He took it. It was so deeply ingrained into his head that he knew exactly what to say and exactly how to resist Satan when Jesus himself was in one of his weakest states. We've been talking about this whole time how the Bible used the imagery of consuming sin as the forbidden fruit. But if you look throughout the whole Bible, you will see how the imagery of consuming God's word is spread throughout all of it. John says in Revelation 10:9, "So I went to the angel and I asked him to give me the little scroll. The angel said to me, 'Take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey.'" Don't hear me say that you need to work so hard at reading the Bible that you will become transformed. This isn't the Bible Bowl. We're not trying to compete on how much information we know here. This isn't another thing to achieve. What I'm asking you to do is something you've probably heard your entire life if you've been going to church. Read your Bible. But don't just read it. Eat it. Consume its contents. It might taste good and sweet like honey at first, but it will hurt and it will become sour when you see what Jesus has done for you despite your addiction to death. Let the word of God and the story and presence of Jesus Christ come into your body like medicine and let it heal you. Let it become a part of you. Become addicted to the story that leads to life, not death. And understand that you can't win this war on your own. Specifically, church, I want you to memorize one verse this week. It can be any verse in the whole Bible. Just pick one. We know the lyrics to our favorite country songs and our favorite rappers, but half of us couldn't recite one verse of the Bible. And if you're a non-believer in the room and you see too that you too are addicted to choosing death over life, I'd love to encourage you to speak to one of our staff members about baptism and how you can give your life to Jesus. In fact, I'd love to personally invite anyone to lunch anytime if you'd like to talk about anything that I have said up here today. So to encapsulate everything that I've said today, Satan is the reason for your addictions and feelings of persecution. But the blood of Jesus Christ is the only path to your transformation. But remember, church, remember, victory can't be achieved. It can only be received. Stop trying so hard. And just abide in the truth that you are addicted and need rehab with Jesus. Lastly, for 1 second, I want you to imagine a community where people are awake to the addictions in their everyday lives. Imagine your schools if people looked up and saw the tangled mess that is their addiction to sin and decided to walk in the light of life rather than the darkness of death. Imagine what your relationships would look like if you choose life over death. What would our marriages look like if we choose to be transformed rather than constrained to sin? What would it look like if generations and generations of people consumed the word of God that it became so deeply ingrained in their souls that people who felt alone in their suffering could see a light out? Imagine a world where no longer would your addiction slip into your car, into your workplace, or even your homes. What would it be like if we all started realizing we can't win this war on our own and that we need a Savior? Church, all I know is that I can't wait until that day comes. God, thank you for this opportunity to speak today. Thank you for helping me understand this addiction to death. Thank you for giving us your word so that we can understand the depths of our sin and suffering. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross so that people like me could have a relationship with someone like you. God, thank you so much for giving us victory through your son. Just help us remember that we can't do it without him. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Hey, family. We're so glad that you joined us for our podcast. Friends, if you'd like to talk to us about Jesus, or if you have prayer requests, please contact us through our social media or through our contact page on our website at www.wackonline.org. If you're interested in joining our church family, there are next steps on our website that we would love to go through with you. Friends, we're so glad you took the time to listen to our podcast. Remember that we're real people experiencing real grace. We'll see you next week.